having got that little business taken care of, do you think we're...
Thanks for taking care of business.
Yeah. Do you think we're ready to moo ourselves in?
Yeah, let's each moo ourselves in.
All right, I'm going to moo myself
moo.
In.
I mooed myself in. Hi, moo everyone.
That was a pretty good moo, Daniel.
Moo yourselves in.
I might take,
sounded really good.
I might take that moo you just did and go back and edit it into every episode of the podcast.
Wait, you like the sound of my moo?
Yeah.
I was okay, cool.
You just felt more like, I don't know, more like it came from a real living creature and less like it came from a can.
A little cow in a can,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel, here we are again back in the island where we have been the whole time.
Here we are again. Here on this island, do I talk to you about the Wiggles very much, Brian?
We're on a quest to comprehensively review all the different flavors of milk.
Daniel, I think we talked about the Wiggles maybe briefly a long time ago, but I don't think that counts as very much, so I'll say no.
That's true. If you're a fan of human beings mooing like cows, then the Wiggles song "I'm a Cow" features Jeff the purple Wiggle, Jeff Fat, mooing like a cow, very charismatically. I'm a big fan of Jeff mooing.
Okay, Daniel. Wow.
Yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, definitely give it a listen.
Okay, Daniel. I will definitely give it a listen. Something about the Wiggles, something about a cow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wiggles, cow. Here's Talking Cow. There's Calling All Cows. There's the Wiggles,
calling
Jeff thinks
cow.
He's a cow. And then there's the Wiggles, I'm a cow.
Yeah, it's the Wiggles, I'm a cow. That's the one.
Wait, that's only 45 seconds. That doesn't seem right. Is it?
It's a short song.
Huh. Okay, well, that's very short. All right, well, thank you, Daniel.
You're welcome.
And that has been previously on Milking It.
Yep, previously on Milking It.
Soon on Milking It, Brian will have heard that song.
Soon on Milking It.
Well, Daniel.
The next segment.
What news do we have for our listeners out there? Any?
Oh, shit, Brian. Oh, I've got to quickly try to find a painting with some milk in it. Hang on. Search the National Gallery Archives. Hang on.
Are there any notable additions or subtractions to your milk list, Daniel?
Yeah, there's one here. You know Shake and Shake? We've had two Shake and Shakes on the pod.
Yeah, we have.
Shake and the milk gets thicker. So, it's a Browns product. Browns Dairy, which is like a sort of stock standard, ubiquitous chocolate milk, iced coffee brand here in Australia. And they've just put out a new Shake and Shake flavor, which I feel like hasn't been done in several decades. And it's one of these modern snack tie-ins, and it's Yogo flavor. So Yogo is a chocolate custard.
Okay. Is that like a brand then? That's a known brand?
Yeah. Yogo is a known brand and it's been around forever. It has a memorable jingle and memorable like ads from the early days of 3D animation in advertising. So people my age think back on Yogo chocolate puddings with nostalgia, I think.
Oh, it's like a... Yeah, okay. Is it like it's like in a pudding cup kind of thing? One of those chocolate puddings?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh,
in a pudding cup.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I snapped this up this Brown's Chill, because I'm very pleased that somebody apart from Oak is doing this crazy tie-in flavor stuff.
Yeah.
I get to sample an exotic milk without having to kowtow to the great Lactalis in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to prostrate myself before Lactalis again.
Yeah,
something I despise doing.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Daniel. It sounds like an interesting, like, I'm curious to see if you get that one, which you have a slight chance of getting it this time. I'm curious to see, like, how it would taste like chocolate pudding rather than just chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've talked at all about the milks. I don't know if I talked about the milks I have here. I have a banana milk, which is not banana flavored milk, but like it's dairy free and nut free milk made from bananas. And it's strawberry flavored. So I have a strawberry flavored banana milk, which, it's kind of my last hope for something good that it will be strawberry flavored.
Yeah.
So we'll see. The ingredients are on this one: water, bananas, strawberries, sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds.
That's basically the whole thing. Yeah. So it's.
I wonder if you can put sunflower oil into as an ingredient in something and then pretend that it's sunflower seeds.
I don't know.
Huh. Me neither.
I'm kind of hoping I get that one because I've had it in my fridge for a long time, but I also have a bubble tea here. And I'd like to, you know, I actually had someone reach out to me, Daniel, and say that they were sad to see the end of Teeing It Up.
Oh.
They wanted more Teeing It Up.
Okay.
So that might happen today. I might get a tea. But you don't have any teas on your list, so it's not a true Teeing It Up until we both have tea.
That's right. Well, I'll have a little look around for some tea. I'll see what I can come up with.
Yeah. Thanks, Daniel.
You're welcome.
Our listeners will appreciate that. So should we go right ahead and spin our spinner, our rotolactor, and find out what we're going to drink today?
Sure. Very, very quickly. Today's milk-based artwork is a silver gelatin print of a photograph taken by one Harold Edgerton in 1934. Harold Edgerton, born in the United States of America on the 6th of April 1903, appears to be most notable for his experiments in capturing very, very fast movement in photographs. So I'm seeing a lot of his work featuring people releasing doves or smashing glass bottles or throwing balls or squirting soda into a glass. He seems to be producing photographs from the 30s all the way up into the 60s, where he's obviously the technology has advanced such that he can now capture bullets hitting things. This guy seems to be the very first slow-mo guy. He's doing the whole slow-mo gimmick, and this silver gelatin print, which I found to be our featured artwork of the day, is one called Birth of Milk Drop Number 6. And Brian, it's a very abstract composition. I hope that if you type in Birth of Milk Drop Number 6, you'll find it. It's currently, or at least this specific silver gelatin print of the photograph, is held by the National Gallery of Australia. I hope that listeners can find it somehow. The composition is pleasingly grey. There are no there's no almost no white exposure, if you see what I mean. Everything is just a very near white grey, which kind of gives this a cool smoky feel, and it appears to capture the moment after a drop of milk has hit. What is this, actually, now that I look at it? I guess a flat surface and has exploded. And so what we have is a dozen or so droplets of milk expanding out from a donut-shaped impact of milk. And it's very surreal. It's a very good effect. Every single droplet casts its own beautiful shadow on the grey surface. And the donut impact of milk undulates and ripples with a vibrant energy that's been frozen by this incredible photographer's skills back in 1934. And a feat which surely must have required the skill of a chemist as well as an artist, you know, to mix whatever flash explosives he had to use. Or maybe it was just a, you know, flash bulb. I don't really know what the photography technology was like in 1934. But Birth of Milk Drop number 6 is today's featured artwork.
That's quite good. I would reckon that pretty much everyone has seen this guy's work. When I just googled his name, the Milk Drop Coronet came up, and it's like it's the milk drop has been dropped in, and then there's like the splashing up, and it looks like a crown.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, absolutely. I have seen that. And I've seen his bullet going through balloons as well.
I've seen the bullet going through the apple as well.
Oh, yeah, and a playing card. Okay, yeah, no, this guy's big name, famous.
So if you've seen the milk drop coronet, or you can imagine that, like, crown of milk splash, then the birth of milk drop number 6 is... It seems to be the drops. This is like just before the end of that. So all the little drops that made up the tips of the crown are about to land back in the milk. And then the big drop that splashed up in the center is now floating on its own, ready to drop in and make another splash.
Very confused by what it's being dropped into. Is it more milk? And if so, where are the bounds of the container which it's inside?
I would want to say it's more milk, but why are these all red, you know? Are you seeing the red ones?
I am seeing the red ones. It might just be that if it was shot in the 30s, like, colorizing photography was a bit of an artistry rather than a science, maybe. He would just liked it.
I like this, Daniel. Here, someone has faked it.
Uh-huh.
Are you seeing this?
No? Are you sending me something?
It's very obviously a modern photo studio.
Oh, what?
Where they have, like, put a red thing and some sort of plastic milk drop coronet looking thing.
It's like a sculpture,
but you could buy, it's a print of their photo of the studio. So I guess what this art team does is they like pretend that these famous other artworks were faked.
I hated that at first, and now that you explained that, I don't hate it as much. But I still don't love. I still don't love it.
They make like behind the scenes photos.
Yes. Okay.
It's interesting.
That's a bit too clever.
I think I think it's fun for the milk drop one. For some of these other ones, I'm just like, this is foolish.
Yeah, the milk. This is a very specific thing for it to be very funny that he would fake sculpt milk splashing so that he could photograph a sculpture. That's
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's a great choice for milk art of the day, Daniel.
Thank you. I will see what happens next week on next week's episode.
Daniel, have you seen have you found the series of photos where you can see all of them?
No.
That's pretty good.
I feel like that would ruin the magic.
Oh, I would definitely
scroll down till I see it.
I feel like I wouldn't mind having like a print of this photo in my house, and people would be like, "What is that?" And then you'd be like, "It's milk."
Yeah.
If it's milk, you idiot. You thought it was something weird and special.
Could probably find a print of it. I bet it's famous enough.
If your eyes worked fast enough, you could see this pretty much every day in your breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
You dumb idiot.
Idiot.
I guess I could get it on a shirt.
Sweet.
I like this one where he's doing a tennis racket. That's cool.
Yeah, the multiple exposures.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
It is quite good. Good job, Harold. What a guy.
Hold on, Mr. Edgerton. Oh, yeah, I just found the multiple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Did he actually take a photo of the first milliseconds after an atomic bomb explosion?
Is that what I'm looking at here? This big...
It's just a ball?
Yeah, the Brussels sprout. Wow. Wow, yeah, I was wondering what the hell that was.
That's grim.
Yeah, oh, this weird... Okay, I thought this was like a deep-sea fish or something.
Yeah.
These big eyes.
It does look like some sort of weird creature in some of the photos.
Wow, well, that's notable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is notable.
Wow. All right, cool. Well, now what segment do we do next? Do we introduce a new mechanic of the podcast or something? Or is that a recurring feature? Or
that we introduce a new thing every episode?
Yeah, last week's was the... Oh, pardon me, hang on. Last week's was the featured artwork. Maybe we shouldn't try and release a new feature. Should we do the Rotolector?
Yeah, Daniel, do the Rotolector.
Okay, cool. What, you just sent me a link?
Yeah, Daniel. Just look at it on your own time.
www.insaneclownposse.org.
Yep. Insaneclownposse.org.
Wow. Brian's sending me some Juggalo shit. Ah, I haven't heard their track, Antique Gun Firing. Ah, I'll be sure to listen to that later.
That actually would be a pretty good song name. That would be a good song name for that person, the people who do like fracking fuel explosion or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, antique gun firing. Yeah, totally. All right. There it comes.
Is it still...
That's it.
That was it?
Nah, that was it.
It's not still here it comes.
It's not still here it comes. What's it landed on? What are we drinking today?
Daniel, I have good and bad news, I think.
Oh.
Good
news.
What's
the bad news?
All right, we'll start with the bad news. The bad news is you are drinking an Oak Plus Power Nutri-Grain Chalk Malt.
Fuck.
Which, as we learned last time, the base value original Nutri-Grain Oak Plus Power was not very good. Very low drinkability. 10 gestalt.
Yeah. if we remember, it was like something was absent in the milk. Maybe what was absent
was joy.
Was choc malt. Or joy. Jack off instructions. although, give oak time and they'll put them on the side of their bottle too.
They probably already have, if you read between the lines.
Hungry, thirsty, it's been real bad, real naughty. You got to show it who's boss. You grip hungry, thirsty in both hands. Don't forget the lubricant. Et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, yeah. Yes. And Daniel, the good news is, you know, well, I say good news, but I am cognizant of the fact that you drank a bubble tea out of a can.
Oh.
And it involved quite a bit of not delicious chunks.
Yeah, I'd recommend not doing that.
But
what are you going to do?
I'm going to drink an NOT number one bubble banana tea with tapioca pearls out of a can.
NOT number one.
NOT is the brand.
NOT.
And it's the number one banana bubble tea. Number one banana. This is this is only for number one bananas.
Yeah.
Number two.
Whoa. Is this a bubble tea or is this an energy drink? What the fuck?
Did you Google it?
Yeah. Daniel, Jesus.
It's a bubble tea, Daniel.
This is the least chill bubble tea I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, we can get right into talking about the zeitgeist then, since that's what we're supposed to do now.
Yeah.
I actually like it. It's kind of crazy. There's something about it to me that doesn't feel like an energy drink. Like, it feels, I don't know, it's like this black and gold can. And it's got bubble banana tea and, you know, angled bold letters across the front in white. And then there's a bundle of bananas next to a glass of...
look at the melon one's cool.
The bubble banana tea, the tea in the glass is being disrupted by some unknown force.
Yeah. These boba balls are really fucking up the system.
I guess maybe the boba balls are splashing down and it's just causing tea to slosh everywhere. I don't know why this doesn't scream energy drink to me, but...
No, I totally get it. I think a lot of the energy drink coding comes from seeing like all the cans lined up. And all these different, like, different colors all together.
Yeah. But...
But I bet as a singular can, it would read differently.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. It's gold. It's shiny. And, like, the black... It's got, like, black that's not shiny, and then the gold is shiny, so it's, like...
Yeah. Brian, what's happening to that banana? That bunch fancy of bananas, is it being engulfed by a banana bubble of liquid?
On the front?
Yeah, the tip of the banana there seems to have just popped some kind of banana bubble.
Yeah, maybe it's, I don't know. That is mysterious.
It's burst a bubble of clear yellow liquid.
I figured that was just like residual splashing out of the tea, but yeah, it kind of doesn't connect, does it?
It has a very Harold Edgerton vibe.
Yeah. Actually, all these, all of these drinks that do the splashing down into an ocean of liquid are basically homages to Harold Edgerton.
I had no idea the milk industry was so deep into its photography history, but I'm glad to see it.
I bet. I mean, like, there probably is. You know, it's not super direct, but. Maybe it is super direct. I'm sure there's like a line between that photo he took of milk and
yeah.
marketing using that sort of splash photo.
I'll go further to say that I bet some brand somewhere producing, you know, the world's 100,000th flavored drink with a splash, their graphic designer went on Google and went for like, oh, milk splash. And then just copy-pasted a Harold Edgerton into the onto the can or whatever, or onto the carton. I bet that exists out there somewhere. Like a poorly, you know, you just open up hue saturation and change the old Harold Edgerton milk into whatever color you want, and then it's your own, if you've changed that enough to escape copyright, probably, presumably.
Well, Daniel, if you want to introduce a new mechanic to the podcast this episode, we could add another scoring category. Edgertonianness.
Is that a subcategory of zeitgeist?
I guess so.
Maybe a zeitgeist could just be Edgertonian.
Zeitgeist part two, Edgertonianness. I guess I need to give this a score, don't I?
Yeah. Edgertonianness is one side of the wetness and dryness scale for a milk and its presentation.
Yeah.
So it's either dry or it's Edgertonian.
Do we know what the other side of the scale is?
We haven't discovered that artist yet.
I feel like it's going to be someone named like Klaus or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very dry looking milk art.
Dry looking milk. Yeah. I mean, has anyone done that? You know? Edgerton took like a fast moving splash and captured it in a way that makes it look frozen in time. Has anyone taken something that's wet and captured it in a way that makes it look dry?
I bet that's never been done. I'll line that up. That can be my next art project.
I believe in you, Daniel.
Thanks, Brian.
I think what this one kind of reminds me of like a... I don't know, like a jersey design for like a low level kind of soccer team or something like that.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But I still enjoy it. It's got, there's a funness to it. I like that it's like a tall boy can.
Yeah.
500 mils. It's definitely eye-catching. It says banana quite a lot on it.
Oh, can I say, I'm really disappointed to see all the flavors are number one.
Oh, no.
When you first mentioned, NOT bubble tea number one banana... I was like, whoa, what a move. Oh, I love it. Like, oh, have you tried NOT number two? And you're like, what's your favorite? Oh, my favorite NOT is NOT number five. Like, they've numbered their flavors, and that's how you refer to them.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool.
These online photos definitely give more of an energy drink vibe. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Especially the green one, the honeydew.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah.
It's very energy drinky.
Yeah, could we get a honeydew bolt?
Yeah.
Or jolt.
But, so it's not like... It's not amazing, but it's fun. And
yeah.
I think it's probably like a... I don't know. 78? Something like that?
Cool.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine's 65.
Ouch.
It's a little better than the original Nutri-Grain flavored bottle from last week. Only because the colors are shifted around a little bit. They still manage to almost retain a good unity in terms of their color choices. It's a little less unified, maybe. The contrast between the cereal bricks and the dark brown of the main body of the label is a little bit less harmonious. But that's more than made up for by the fact that I can, just around the edges of the label, I can see the color of the milk inside, and it's a good brown. Makes me feel excited that maybe this won't be total crap. So, yeah, as opposed to the kind of tan that the previous one was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a step up in terms of its, you know, it's how it's appealing to me. Hungry Thirsty wakes up early. It's time for an Oak Plus Power, combining the full strength of Oak with the iconic blah, 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 blah. This appears to be identical to the original Screed. The Screed of the original.
Okay. So
no updates to the Screed.
Hey, Daniel.
There we go.
Looks like I could get Ocean Bomb Bubble Tea for myself.
Oh. I mean, don't, but cool.
I can get a pack of two different flavors.
Hey, the Inno Tea Bubble Tea branding reminds me a little bit of the Ocean Tea Bubble Tea.
A little bit.
But neither of those designs scream bubble tea. It's something about the black that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that, like, matte black with neon color designs. Geometric designs.
Was the Ocean Bomb the one that had the chunks in it?
Madame Hong's Grass Jelly Tea and Ocean Bomb.
The Grass Jelly one was the one with the big chunks.
Yeah, I forget which one was which. One of them, both chunks were flavorless. One was the texture of over-fried egg yolk. Yum. No, egg white. Like, I don't know, like a extra chewy scrambled eggs or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
With no yolk in, I guess. And then the other one, the balls formed into a kind of mega ball. and it just sort of kind of plugged the hole and became this horrible just blockage which I had to suck on to pass.
Did you have a straw when you drank it?
No. Just right out of the opening.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a straw either. I think I should. That would be...
Yeah, probably.
Be probably a good innovation.
All the photos in the reviews that I'm seeing on the Google image search, people are putting them in their own fluted glasses.
Yeah.
To enjoy. Don't do it, Brian.
Don't.
That's not how you would drink this.
That's not how I would drink it on the street if I just grabbed this out of a convenience store.
Convenience store. What do you got, a fluted glass in your pocket, you idiot?
Daniel, what
is... Sit down on the bus and then smash. Yeah?
I'm looking at the Ocean Bomb page on Amazon, and one of their images is just like way too much tea being poured into a glass.
Yeah. Whoa, yeah. That was, they were trying for the Edgerton look.
Yeah.
And I just pulled the shutter too late. Like, well, we only had this one plate of film.
They actually do have a very high, they have like a very, very Edgertonian pick as well, though.
Whoa, yeah, that's really Edgertonian.
Those are like squares of something, though. That's mysterious.
Is it like dark caramel?
They could be the black sugar. Yeah, that's the flavor of that tea. Black sugar.
Yeah, I wish I could drink what the flavor looks like instead of what was in the can.
Yeah.
Because that looks yummy.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm sorry that you're wasting the teeing it material.
Oh, that's fine. We're teeing it up. I'm just over here shaking the hell out of this tea just to try to make sure the bubbles aren't all in one giant bubble.
Yeah, but you also don't want to rupture any bubbles.
I don't?
No, you don't want to rupture bubbles. You end up with bubble fragments.
Do you think they'll rupture?
Well, it depends. The grass jelly, I think, might have been in danger of rupturing. I forget what the ocean bomb...
So,
boba's
Daniel, the good news is that if this canned tea is good, the store where I got it has the other flavors, and I'll be able to go get those as well. Bad news is
that's also good news if it's the worst thing you've ever had, because then you can really like probe the wound.
Yeah. Yeah. The bad news is I don't remember which store I got this at.
Another drunken store visit.
Yeah. It's just been a while, Daniel.
Yeah, cans. Any milk in a can. That's bomb shelter milk. That'll be with us for a while.
All right. Well, Daniel, we've zeitgeisted.
I didn't get my timer.
I have a timer. I'm going to try a different timer this time. Are we ready to sip?
Yeah, I'm opening mine now.
Daniel, how am I going to drink the bubbles? They're just going to stay at the bottom until I get to the bottom.
You have to come to terms with that fundamental flaw.
Okay.
Here's how you do it. You put your mouth up against the opening of the can so that your lips entirely seal around the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And you create a seal with your tongue.
Yeah.
So that there's a little vacuum in your mouth so that no liquid can escape into your mouth. And then you tilt your whole head backwards. So your neck becomes a 90-degree elbow and you're facing God looking down on you in the sky. And then you just chill out like that for a couple, 10 seconds maybe will be enough for all the boba balls at the bottom of the can to then sink down to the can's new bottom, aka you, Brian, the can's new bottom. And then you just open up that tongue vacuum and, yeah, balls all the way.
I can't do it, Daniel. I can't create a watertight seal because of the the pop tab.
Blame the pop tab and not your weak epiglottis.
I tried to stop up the hole with my tongue, but because of the pop tab, there's little like weak points, and I poured tea over my face.
Nice.
Yeah, that happened.
Well, oh well. No milk is perfect. Now what are we doing? What's going on?
Daniel, we're taking our first sips and we're having our chat.
Oh, okay, cool. Is the time? The timer hasn't started though.
No. I'm starting it up now. Can you hear it?
Oh, I can hear it when you talk, but when you're quiet, it doesn't quite reach the threshold.
Yeah, fair enough.
That threshold that you bullied me about earlier.
Yeah.
But probably it's being picked up. Probably your mic is, you know, the listeners aren't listening to the Discord call. They're listening to the audio that we're capturing. So the listeners can probably hear the tickling, the ticking.
One can only hope.
Yes.
We'll see.
We'll see. So.
So, Daniel.
So, Brian. Yes?
Milk and stuff.
Yeah, milk and stuff. Have you recorded any more episodes of Checkin' It?
I have not, Daniel, but I created the podcast on Anchor.
Yeah.
By the time listeners hear this, everyone who listens to this will have already known about that. So.
I should mention. Yeah, you go ahead, and then I've got one thing to add. I should have said it before we started recording, but go ahead.
So this weekend, or this week, end of this week, but several weeks ago for the listeners, I created the podcast and I made a cover art for it, which was really fun.
Yeah, I saw that cover art. Was that a Brian original drawing?
Yeah, I fired up Adobe Illustrator and I...
Nice.
I just started winging it and I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, you wung it well. I like that a lot. I'm just going from memory, but I think the horse's head is nice and big in the frame, mm-hmm. and then there's other pieces on a, you know, planarly in the background kind of thing, very convincingly, and the colours are nice, and it's got a good darkness to it as well, all these things that add up to something that is a professional product.
Very professional.
I mean, very professional.
I can send you the full thing. So also, like, using Adobe Illustrator is both good and bad. Because, I mean, it's for what it is, right? Illustrating. Yeah. It's not really for, like, drawing necessarily.
Yeah.
So I was, at one point, I was thinking about, like, I was going to take it over to Photoshop and then, like, color it in.
Yep.
But then I thought, like, surely there's got to be a way to color stuff in Illustrator that isn't just, like, painting with the brush. Because when you paint with the brush, it creates, like, lines, like vector paths. Yeah. So it's weird to try to fill in something with paths. I looked it up and I found a method for it, which is kind of complicated, but also... pretty cool, where you, like, you duplicate your line art and then you take that duplicated line art and you expand it into whatever, you just click expand appearance, whatever that means, and then you merge your paths so that the whole thing becomes, so then every shape, like every closed shape, becomes an independent object. And you can select any shape and change its color.
Wow.
So then I selected, like, the individual shapes and grouped them together so that, like, all the shapes that make up the horse were...
That was probably 5 minutes.
No, it still says it has 2 minutes left.
Oh, shit.
What is with these timers? Which, like, it was a...
We need a timer review podcast called Timing It, where we pit the Australian timers against the American timers, and then the truth will come out. Then we'll see who's on top.
I mean, I knew these timers were, like, cheap, but come on.
You expected functional
timers. Surely the basic timing functionality of, like, an egg timer is not that complicated, but I guess I need to go find, like, a $200 handcrafted solid metal timer that works perfectly.
But then it won't be milk themed.
Well, this one is a tomato, so deal with that.
I can't. Is that the king in the background there?
So
is he shouting?
He's screaming in terror because the horse is coming to check him.
He's under attack from the horse. I see that now. Oh, you thought this through.
Slightly.
Because the path, the king, listeners, is on the square where the horse can get him next turn. So that's why the king is shouting.
Yeah, so he's been checked and now he's screaming and
Have you ever heard of
move out of the way, though.
Do you know what a yaoi is, Brian?
Yaoi?
Familiar with yaois?
No.
Okay.
Damn. My timer is just, like, faded down into nothingness now. So it dings when there's a couple minutes left, and then it slowly just fades away.
Oh, cool. So the chat period is infinite. That's the... the timer just becomes more and more quiet, second after second. Hang on, let me send you a yaoi.
I feel like I know what it is, but it's not coming to my brain immediately.
Yeah, you probably do. You're an Australiaphile, so you know about yaois. You've just forgotten about them.
Yeah. But, Daniel, this whole process made me want to do more Adobe Illustrating illustrations because it's pretty fun.
Awesome.
And like one thing that is really cool about it, so you can draw your stuff, right? So I drew my stuff, and then I needed to make sure that every shape was closed. And then because everything you've drawn is like an editable path, you can like really fine tune stuff. And like you can connect up the lines and make sure everything closes, and you can like adjust the curves and you can like move the anchors, and you can add anchors, which. Yeah.
I just sent you a shit link. Don't click it.
Okay, I won't click it.
Something that didn't work. Sent you some bad yowie.
So I feel like that Illustrator process is like pretty forgiving for someone like me who's maybe not very good at drawing stuff, but then, you know, I can use the tools to make myself better through close refinement, because I'm not going to like freehand draw it as good as this, you know?
Yeah. Man, what the hell? What is a .jfif? JFIF. My computer keeps on saving JPEGs as JFIFs. And then I try and send them to you. I'm sending you a JFIF. I've never heard of a JFIF.
So you're trying to send me a pic?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just download it and save it and open it. There it is. Oh, I guess I don't know what a yaoi is. But I see Rumble and Crag and Boof and Map?
Yeah.
Map or
they're
Nap?
They're all yaois.
Maybe it's Nap? Is it Nap or Map?
I don't know.
Could be Nap and then Diddy and Squish.
Yeah, I thought that the king's mouth was a nose at first, and thought, I was like, wow, it's like a yaoi king. King of yaois.
A yaoi king.
But then, yeah, then I was like, no, that's no yaoi. That's a mouth, not a nose.
It'd be a big nose. It does kind of look like, because there's a bit that looks like it could be a mouth, where there's the little line.
Looks like Map.
I see that. Yeah, if you see it as a nose, then it looks like he's very happy.
Yeah, it's like, here comes that horse. I love that guy.
That's funny.
It's Daniel? Like a Rumble X Map.
Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody about this way of looking at it.
Okay, I'll
The king is happy and ready to get murdered.
Just stick some teeth in that mouth, and then it won't be a nose anymore. What gave it away is the tongue. It's like, that nose has a tongue.
Yeah, or it's just a nose that's got some ketchup on it.
Yeah, it's a yeah. Your king was eating a sausage roll earlier. Pushed a bit of the old sauce around, that's all.
Yeah.
Got some for Ron.
I guess I could try to add teeth. I don't really want to mess
up. No, it's perfect how it is. This is a thumbnail which is going to service chess fans and yaoi fans alike. So leave it how it is.
It's either a king who's happy to be losing his chess game. It's a yaoi king who is going happily to his death. Or it's just a chess king who is terrified as he's about to get stomped by a horse.
Yeah. A horse's head anyway.
Yeah. All right, Daniel. Well, I think it's time to take a scoring interlude.
Yeah, let's take a scoring interlude. Bye, everyone. Oh, listeners who aren't too sure what I'm talking about. No. Everyone, listeners who aren't sure what I'm talking about, just Google yaoi. It'll all make sense. All right, Brian, back into it.
Okay, Daniel, I'm ready.
Groovy.
Are you ready?
Cool. Yeah, sure am.
Oh, Daniel. Oh, Daniel.
I'm excited to hear how these balls are treating you.
Oh, Daniel.
Hit us with it.
When spit you it out. When you asked how my scoring was going, I was in the middle of one of the worst experiences of my life. So while we were scoring, I broke off the little pop tab thingy to make it easier to plug the hole, and I managed to get some balls in my mouth.
Yeah.
And oh boy, Daniel,
it was no good.
I regretted that immensely.
Was it a texture thing or a taste?
Both. There's no taste, no texture. I mean, maybe these are bad. I just think they're probably just not very good, like boba balls, because it's a canned tea.
Yeah. In a lot of places, they'll pride themselves in like the freshness of the ingredients they put in, and they might like make it there in the shop, you know, turn it into balls and then stick it in the tea. But this is this is the antithesis of that whole philosophy.
And it's like, I mean, it's Best Buy like next year, right? So they expect that they're telling you that this product has a long shelf life. So if the balls have gone bad after a couple months, that seems like a poor experience. So I'm assuming this is just what they're like. And
yeah, these balls aren't bad, Brian.
Oh boy, Daniel. But they are very, very bad. The texture was bad. There was no taste. It was very disturbing. I had to actually spit them out into this glass I have nearby. I could not progress with consuming them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
That's not what you want, is it?
Luckily, I had this glass here in case I got the strawberry banana milk.
Yeah. Usually you drink your bubble tea and you're like, man, I don't want to spit.
No.
I want to gag. I want to choke. I want these balls to hit that little dangly thing that's swinging the back of my throat.
Exactly. That's exactly what I think every time I drink bubble tea. Yeah. But not this time.
Me too. Nah.
Not this time, Daniel. And the other thing about this tea is the banana flavor is like a very...
Oh, yeah, there's flavor. I forgot there was flavor.
It's a pretty strong fake banana flavor, which isn't very good.
Oh.
There's also like there's the hint of that bubble tea flavor, or milk tea, I guess, right? Which is nice.
Yeah.
Milk tea is a great flavor. So that's in there, but... The banana is a little too strong, a little too fake banana, and it just makes it kind of not very good, but it's still tolerable as a flavor, as long as there's no balls in your mouth.
Sure.
Yeah. The experience of drinking out of the can is fine. I guess now I'm glad that for the most part it's really easy to drink this without getting any balls in your mouth.
Yeah, you're glad you don't have a straw.
Yeah.
The straw users who have laid themselves down. Yeah.
So I can just drink the tea part and it's kind of okay, but it's basically just a not very good, medium, somewhat sweet, kind of fake flavor tasting milk tea that is like, if you know what fake banana tastes like, you'd be like, okay, this is banana flavored. If you had only ever eaten real bananas, you'd have no idea what this flavor was.
Yeah.
It's that classic candy banana taste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like a banana now and later. If you're familiar with that piece of candy.
Not at all. I only know a tag along.
Yeah.
Banana tag along. There's a cookie with a bit of banana on top.
And Daniel, I could keep drinking this. It's not terrible as a liquid, but I'm afraid of more balls coming my way.
Yeah.
So
you got to hope that the floor of the design keeps you safe from the product itself.
Yeah. I might keep taking sips and trying to avoid the balls and drink some more of it. But for the most part, I don't think I'm even halfway through, and I'm pretty much done with this experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I had to leave off a few of these tinned bubble teas half done.
Yeah.
I reckon the Madame Hong's was like that.
So, Daniel, I can give you some scores to go with that.
Yeah, hit us with the scores.
On the milkiness, I'm going to give it a 58. Because there's a milky texture to it, and there's a bit of a milk tea-ness in there. Mild credit there. Tastiness, the taste is reasonably tolerable, as I said, so that's a 53. Not a very good taste, but you could still drink it.
Yeah.
The tea part. Creativity, I'm not sure. I gave it a 47.
Cool.
I don't know. Why not?
Why not?
Value, I'm actually going to lower that down. This was like...
Because you're only getting half. Only half of this product is actually consumable.
Yeah, half of it is consumable and... It's not even that good. It's just like it's acceptable. So it's not great value.
No.
And I think I paid like $3.50 or something like that.
Ooh.
So yeah. So I'm going to give it, it's going to get a 21 on the value score here.
Yep.
And then the Gestalt is a 4. Because I'm now actually afraid of this drink. But
yeah,
it's not a 0 because there was a point where I was just drinking the liquid and it was okay. I was like, this is drinkable.
There's a point where it was okay.
This is a mediocre experience of drinking a flavored liquid, you know.
Yeah,
but now I'm scared of the rest of the drink, so the Gestalt falls off rapidly after the first couple of sips.
Very early on in your review today, you referred to this milk as disturbing, and that's not a good thing for a milk drink to be.
Yeah,
to be disturbing.
I was looking back at my previous low Gestalt scores, and you know, I recently gave a 0 to the milk that I thought had gone sour.
Yep.
And there was a moment where I had to consider, would I rather be drinking sour milk than this? Mm. And the answer is almost yes.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, 4 is almost 0 on a 100 score.
It's pretty bad. But ultimately, God. I still would rather drink the liquid from this can over the sour milk.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll strain this out and just... get the liquid bits out, but it's not even that good. Like, that's a lot of effort.
No, not worth that much effort.
Yeah. So them's my scores, and then there was a 78 cool. on the Zeitgeist because the outside is still pretty fun.
Cool. All right. Oh, well, it's my turn then. Thank you for that review, Brian. I enjoyed it.
I think we're in for a which milk can fall the least far into the pit of whatever. Yeah,
you've certainly
horrible milk drinking
you've certainly
experience.
You've given me a feeble opponent. So today I drank Oak Plus Power Nutri-Grain Choc Malt Flavor. It comes in a plastic bottle, which is it's almost like Oak's alternate milk line. They mostly do 600ml cartons. This is a 500ml barrel-shaped bottle, which I'm drinking from. I reviewed the Oak Nutri-Grain, Oak Plus Power Nutri-Grain Original last week and found it very lacking. I'm surprised to say, Brian,
is this one good?
Plus Power Nutrigrain Choc Malt Flavor is good.
Hey, that's a twist.
Yeah. I guess, like, yeah, it was. It doesn't have that same level of bitterness in the aftertaste that the last one did. There's still a faint hint of that experience of bitterness, but it seems to be exclusively occurring around my teeth now instead of my whole mouth, which is what the previous one subjected me to. But yeah, so the choc flavor, it has a very... So it's choc malt. It describes itself as choc malt. It has quite a like cocoa powder kind of flavor to it, like a homemade hot chocolate made with cocoa powder, which is not bad at all. This is a Nutrigrain flavored choc milk. So it has like this. They've attempted to give it a cereal flavor, a Nutrigrain flavor, and I can taste them trying. When I put this in my mouth, I can taste them try. But they didn't quite achieve Nutrigrain. And for a little while, during my tasting, during our scoring moment, I was like, what does this... Because it's not, there is a flavor there that's other than chocolate. There's something there. That's the trying that I can taste. I'm like, what is it? And then I'm like, for a while I was like, is it grass? Does this taste like grass? There's something herbal about it. And then, just in the middle of your review, I was having some sips and it suddenly struck me, it's hummus. It has a kind of almost like hummusiness, like a chickpea kind of flavor.
Interesting. Not like I thought you meant, because you said grass, you know, humus. Humus?
Sure, you can go ahead and say humus if you want.
The organic component of soil formed by the decomposition of leaves and other plant material by soil microorganisms.
What?
Do you know about that word?
No.
That's what I thought you meant at first, because you had said grass.
Yeah, I thought you were saying humus wrong.
No, Daniel. There's another word. Humus.
Wow.
That means like dirt. Soil.
It's, wow. In soil science, humus denominates the fraction of soil organic matter that is amorphous and within the cellular cake structure characteristic of plants, microorganisms, animals, like you said.
I was like, you're really excited about this dirt tasting drink.
Yeah, it tastes like hummus. That's funny. I wonder if it has the same like root languageologically speaking, you know? Lepidopterally speaking.
Yeah, maybe.
What's the word?
I'll look it up while you're etymologically speaking.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll look it up for you. But it's also, Daniel, I would say hummus.
Right.
Not hummus. But
yeah, I'm here saying hummus.
Maybe it's all acceptable. Danielle, I'm going to go ahead and guess that the etymology is not the same because the word hummus comes from Arabic.
Right.
Not Latin.
And not Latin. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Arabic, not a Latin language.
Yeah.
Not a romantic.
Arabic and Latin are not, I mean, yeah. They're different, aren't they?
They
are different, yes.
They're different. Oh, fair. Well, I mean, yeah. There's little else for me to say, I think. It's a slightly off chocolate-flavored chocolate. Not off, but like left of center.
Like unique.
Yeah, unique flavored chocolate.
Left of center.
I mean, this is oak.
So sure,
they play their cards close to their chest, but will dog whistle as much of the audience as they can.
Yeah.
But But so yeah, some numbers. I'd say the milkiness is very slightly superior to the original flavored Nutrigrain Oak Plus Power, giving this a 71 as opposed to the 69 of the previous one. The tastiness gets a 69. It's pretty high. Something about the strangeness of having this not quite chocolate flavor prevents me from giving it a higher score. But it deserves to be above average. It's not bad. It has quite a nice, like I say, a cocoa kind of hot chocolate flavor.
Okay.
The creativity is 72. I gave the previous Nutrigrain flavor milk 70. This is like that, but with chocolate. They've added something. But they added the most boring thing. But it turns out to be just what it needed, so I'm not mad. The value is 58, which is one higher than the original flavor. The Gestalts. Previously, the last one got a 10. This gets a 60.
Oh, wow. What an upgrade.
Yeah, it would be higher, but it's a bit heavy in my guts. You know, I'm feeling it.
Yeah. Chocolate milk can be like that sometimes.
It can be.
What's the nutrition facts on that one, Daniel? Like, how many proteins and carbs and stuff are you getting?
Okay. Well, I'm getting some high calcium. I'm getting 30 grams of dairy protein.
Wow.
I'm getting high fiber. And I'm getting 9 vitamins and minerals.
That's a lot of protein.
Was the previous one... The previous one was 9 vitamins and minerals, was it?
I don't know. That's your information. How many calories, Daniel?
Let me see. As a percentage of the liquid or inside the bottle?
Just like, in the bottle, how much are you drinking?
It's 1,230 kilojoules.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
Don't know what that is for calories.
Well,
30 grams of protein, 7 grams of fat.
And that's a lot of protein, so...
It is.
I'm just wondering what the quantification of that heaviness is.
As a percentage of the liquid, the fat is actually relatively low. It's 1.4 grams per 100 mils. So I think this is, you know, some 2% milk kind of thing. Some skim, bit of skim in here.
Yeah.
Dietary fiber, sodium, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, zinc, iodine, vitamin A, vitamin B2, vitamin B12, vitamin D3.
Wowie.
Yeah.
Wowie yowie.
Yeah, I'd say the protein is maybe the heaviness. I wonder where it comes from. Why has it got protein in it?
From milk, Daniel, and stuff.
Does a low-fat milk have the same protein content as a full-cream milk? I'm suspicious.
My guess would be unlikely, just because of... I don't know.
Do they put some kind of protein additive in here, just so that they could say it has 30 grams of dairy protein in it?
Yeah, they probably did.
Huh. Well, oh well.
30 is there. A whole lot. I think the core power like shakes that I had, I feel like I remember them being like 12 grams of protein or something.
Listeners at home, if you get the Choc Malt Flavor Nutrigrain Oak Plus Power, keep an eye out for that hummusy aftertaste. It's in the aftertaste. So you just wait, and then there's like, you get the chocolate, sure, and then you're like, huh. Oh, Dan was right. I've just confirmed there's a bit of hummusiness to this chocolate milk.
Is that the malt?
Maybe. Doesn't taste like any... Oh, maybe. I don't know. All right. So, Brian, crown me milk of the day.
Daniel, run me back through your first three scores again. Milkiness, taste.
First three? Milkiness 71, tastiness 69.
Nice.
Creativity 72.
Okay, Daniel. Well, yeah, I...
Value 58, Gestalt 60, so Gestalt 65.
The only thing my tea has beat you on is Zeitgeist.
Yep. That's fair. I agree. I concede.
Are we calling this a chocolate flavored milk, Daniel?
Yes. It is that.
Or is it definitely a cereal flavored milk?
Well, shit. Do we have cereal flavored milk as a category?
We have the cereal milk we did.
Yeah, and then there was last milk's week.
But that
last week's milk.
We categorized the cereal milk as unique milk.
Okay, no, this is chocolate milk.
And last week I categorized as unique as well.
Yeah.
But I could make it cereal.
No. Keep it unique. The only reason I say this is choc milk and not unique milk, even though it's saying that it's unique milk. This is oak plus power Nutri-Grain, and then little parentheses, choc malt flavor. But really, this is chocolate milk!
Yeah.
And then they've tried to do something with it, but really the chocolate comes through and nothing else. Apart from some hummusiness.
That's fair, Daniel. I think that's a fair evaluation.
Now, Brian, I'm curious to know how this stacks up against the Death by Chocolate, the DBC.
The DBC. Daniel, I'll tell you. So I'll reveal the scores. And
yes,
our official Milk of the Day winner.
Milk of the Day.
With 395 points is Oak plus Power Nutri-Grain Chalk Malt.
Yep.
Absolutely stomping on the NOT Banana Bubble Tea with a measly 261 points.
200 and what? Sorry?
200.
I zoned out. I was thinking of cenotes in Mexico.
261.
Wow, 261. Boy, oh boy. Imagine being stuck in an underwater cave in Mexico. Oh, jeez.
So
200 and what? 261. Okay, cool.
Daniel, this 395 has pushed your chalk malt up to number 3 on the Daniel leaderboard.
Oh, I feel kind of bad about that, but
it's topped out over pineapples. Alan's pineapples.
Uh-huh, okay.
The oak chalk peanut butter. The golden gay time crumbs. The milk bar chalk cherry delight. The Brown's mocha chill. The fantails. The peppermint crisp. DBC Daniel is down at 332. 60 points behind.
Wow. 332. That's around about where last week's Nutri-Grain milk was. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly where last week's Nutri-Grain milk was.
Uh-huh.
Daniel, you have a ton of oak milks on here.
Yeah, I mean, please. Yeah, I know. They're the only mad dog doing the crazy moves in this milk game dog fight. You know, that I can report on. But no, so yeah, go Browns for putting out Yogo Shake and Shake Chill. Go Dare Iced Coffee for sticking some peanuts in your coffee or whatever. It just occurred to me that this Dare peanut butter milk I've got in here is peanut butter flavored coffee. That's going to be interesting. Yeah. So, obviously, you've seen from the Australian comedians and personalities that you follow, Brian, that Oak is doing, fan-made flavors or whatever and pitting them against each other. And there's like a banana toffee milk, and there's a s'mores milk, and there's apple pie milk.
I've seen that from,
what's his name?
Martin
Dustin
Dunlop.
Hoffman. Yeah, that's it, Martin Dunlop. So it's been tempting to do like a special where the only three milks I have in my basket are those three oak milks or whatever, but there's just been so much of this stupid fucking company. I want to do anything else. So I've been ignoring that whole fiasco.
Yeah. I would like to drink those milks, but yeah. Other than that.
Yeah. I'd like you to drink them.
Someday, Daniel, when I am able to come to Australia.
Oh, imagine that. Oh.
Maybe we can do a live milk in it and that will be the end of the show.
What a scary proposition. What would you do in Perth? I can't imagine. Well, what would you do? You go to Kings Park? You go to the train tunnel? That's about it.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
So don't come to Perth. I don't want to have to put you up in the shed or whatever.
Wow. The shed, that's the kind of treatment I would get? Okay.
Well, yeah, yeah. Not exactly full of guest rooms, this house.
Yeah, fair enough. I know how that goes.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel. Well, congratulations on milk of the day.
Thank you. Feels good. Well, I must be climbing up the milk of the day leaderboards, right?
That has pulled you back to within 9.
Haha.
You're on a 19 milks of the day.
And you're on 27?
I'm on 28.
28. Yeah.
The numbers don't add up properly because of, I don't know what.
Yeah. There was a whole segment.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Oh, good. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in.
What I was going to say during the chat timer segment, like 10 weeks ago, I got a Jumbotron message. I sent that to the No Cat podcast. No one can know about this. But they had a big back catalogue. So it's theoretically here in real life, Brian, the next episode of No One Can Know About This, the No Cat Final Fantasy podcast, will have a little message from me telling everyone to come check out Milk in It.
Oh, how exciting.
Very exciting.
Hopefully they do.
I usually hate Jumbotrons, but the No Cat Jumbotron is totally acceptable.
Well,
it really puts that puts any Max Fun Jumbotron action to shame.
Yeah. Can't disagree with you there, can I?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, watch me not. I think, Daniel, I think with this episode we can maybe conclusively say that people should stay away from bubble tea in a can.
Yeah, definitely. It's not just Australia's choice of bubble teas in a can, which are bad, but it seems to be correspondingly bad in America too.
Yeah.
Corroborated by the Americans' experience.
Milk tea in a can might be pretty good. You remember I had one of those that was good?
Yeah.
But if there's any sort of bubbles or chunks in it, I'm going to say pass.
Sweet.
All right.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to move us on out of here then.
Move us out, Brian.
Moo. Moo moo.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And end.